Hi, I'm Leola. I'm a sacred intimacy mentor and muse and the host of this podcast. Talk Tantra to Me introduces a playful perspective on sacred sexuality. My intention in this podcast is to integrate intimacy and spirituality, empowering you to reclaim your eroticism. It is my mission to inspire you to let go of shame, fear, and limiting beliefs to be present as your highest self in every moment. Thanks so much for tuning in. Now, let's talk Tantra. Hello, lovers. I am so blessed and honored to be in a position to share, you know, tools and tips and tricks that have the potential to heal and to bring you to a place of full sexual embodiment. And one of the tools that I absolutely love and have been using for the better part of a decade are crystal yoni products, including pleasure wands and yoni eggs. And I was so excited to recently come across a brand called Wands, W-A-A-N-D-S. I met the founder here in Austin and I absolutely loved who she was. I love getting to know the people behind the products that I like to use. And I just loved her mission to really support women and men to explore, celebrate, and honor their sexuality. I felt this transmission of slow sensual seduction in all of who she was and all that she brought to the world. So I went ahead and gave it a try. I purchased a blue quartz amarita wand, and the amarita wand is great because it has this like cool bulby end on it, which is designed for G-spot and cervical stimulation, but can also be used for prostate stimulation. So it's great for men and women and can even be used between partners. So I'm so honored to have built this relationship with her and to be able to offer you guys an amazing discount code. So if you use the code Leola, L-E-O-L-A, that will give you 15% off all products. And the website is wands.com, W-A-A-N-D-S.com. And we'll go ahead and link that in the show notes as well for you. So thank you so much for listening. And also you're welcome for the inevitable pleasure and healing and ecstasy that is coming your way with these products. Let's dive into the episode. Welcome to Talk Tantra to Me. It is such an honor to be holding space for this divine knowledge to make its way into your ears and lifestyle. Today on the show, I have Amy Petuski. She is an intimacy coach and co-founder of Desire on Fire. Mm-hmm. Such a yummy name. Thank you. Like getting chills even saying the name. The codes. Great. So Amy, how did you discover this passion and purpose? How did you become an intimacy coach?
Like how long of a story should I tell you? this could take a while, but I'll keep it short. So, I was raised in a family that, really prioritized personal growth, and my parents met at a personal development seminar. So it was like always really normal in my house to,
oh, wild.
Yeah, courses and retreats and programs and coaching and all of that was very normalized in my house.
Yeah.
Which I mostly liked, but there was a time I rebelled against that. And after college, I moved to New York. I lived in, I lived all over New York City, but I worked in corporate, mm-hmm. and I liked that for a little bit of time. I kind of wanted like the, you know, wear business casual and go to an office and live in New York City life.
Yeah, and it's very romanticized.
It's very romanticized. Is it that amazing? No, but it was. I did love it. I had created a job that I loved, and it was great for being a corporate job. It was a startup, and it was really fun. I loved my team, but I was doing personal growth work on the side. And I was starting to train to be a coach, just like volunteer. And I was loving it. And I'm like, ooh, I love coaching. I'm good at this. And it was kind of perfect because I always have been very much a leader. But when I was a kid, I was very bossy and would just kind of like tell everyone what to do. And that's not coaching. But it lended well to a service profession, right? A helping profession that was about looking at your life and looking at, you know, your dreams and your goals and things. So I started out coaching more like accountability, like the kind of like general life coaching. And that was really fun. And I was successful at that. And I grew, you know, my business to six figures. And I was doing what I would call like coaching more masculine energy at that time.
Yeah.
And it was great. And it was, I was successful at it. But my love life was really struggling, and I would kind of like swerve and like avoid talking to clients about their love life. Like, oh, I would just kind of be like, don't even really bring that to me. We can talk about communication and asking for raises and communicating well with your family. But like, and I would talk to them, of course, about like communicating with their spouse, but I wasn't like not helping them with their sex. Certainly not. I'm like, I don't know what I'm doing, and I can't really help you.
Yeah.
That's where I was. And that was not that long ago. So that was like, let's see, I started coaching 7.5 years ago. So that I would say 5 years ago, I was really hitting a rock bottom in my love life and sex life. And I needed to, in order to be open to this world, because all the rest of the personal growth world was kind of like, I was willing, I was inspired. I'm like, yeah, I want to do all the courses and the trainings. But I don't know if you've heard this saying, people come to transformation or growth from inspiration or desperation.
Yeah.
And all the work before that had been inspiration. Uh-huh. I was totally inspired to do it. Sex and intimacy, I was like, I had to be in desperation to go there. Like, even though I've always loved talking about sex, I've always loved, like, I've always been curious about people's sex lives, like that. But actually examining my own blocks and my own body insecurity and my own like performance anxiety with men, I was like, I don't really want to go there. And it took some real desperation. And then I was willing to dive in. So my business partner, Ellie, who runs Desire on Fire with me, she got engaged and got married very quickly, like 2 months after meeting her husband. And I was like, I knew her already. We were friends. And I was kind of like, what the fuck just happened? How did you meet this guy? How are you married? What's going on? And she was like basically introduced me to, she's like, welcome to this world. And she, at the time, the first thing she introduced me to was orgasmic meditation and told me about that community and Mama Gina's community, and eventually, you know, found Tantra and all sorts of other practices and modalities. And I just dove in, and I'm like that. I'm quite extreme. So I just like immersed myself in all the trainings, and it completely transformed me and my relationship to my body and my pussy and my sex and men. And so I was like, I have to teach this.
Yeah.
I'm sure you know what that's like.
Yeah.
Like
the, same, but different.
Right? What I was getting, I had to then give.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. 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 You got fired up about it. And then Desire on Fire was born.
Yes, exactly.
I'm curious why it was the desperation. Like, what felt like, where was the resistance coming from for you?
Yeah, I think there was like a real level of denial for me around, because I was less like, I can create anything. You know, I was like, I can create anything. I've had relationships. It's not like I never had a relationship. Like, I had a boyfriend in high school and a boyfriend in college. Like, I was like, I can create anything. I don't need to like do all this intimacy work to get there. I'll just create it myself. And
love it.
Right. Have you heard that one before? I have heard that from lots of people since, but I was really well, I think also because I was introduced to this world in quite an extreme way, because my first taste of it was one taste, which is orgasmic meditation community, which has been in the media a lot lately. But
great documentary on it.
Yeah, I'm happy to talk about it. But it was amazing, and I had such a powerful experience with it, and really positive experience personally. But that was very extreme. Like, I like enter the world of sexual, you know, teachings, and it's like, take off your pants, have your clitoris stroked for 15 minutes by someone in the class. You know?
Yeah.
It was like, okay. Like, I was so confronted.
Yeah.
Really confronting for me. And I was like, I actually learned the practice and didn't do it for 3 months after I learned it, because I was like, no one's touching my pussy. I don't want to do this. Like, I was so resistant until I felt safe enough and you know, created that safety for myself and did
well, good for you for doing that. Cause I had the opposite experience where I was like, I went in and I was like, this is a lot, but I have to do it to be good at this thing. Uh-huh. And then like, didn't really honor my body and myself in that process.
Yeah. And I think it's common, right? It shows up in different ways for all of us, but sometimes we do have to cross our own boundaries to learn them.
Or push the, we have to cross.
We do.
Them to,
sometimes we do. And especially in the world right now, that's very like, obsessed with safety and like not pushing about boundaries. Basically, it's like, it's actually a radical way of thinking about it, but like I believe sometimes we do have to cross our own boundaries to learn them.
I agree.
And it's like, it's okay. Like, and then we want to blame, but it's like, so we might have had to go there, you know? And I've definitely had to go there. And
yeah.
I'm like, oh, okay, I learned. Hey, that was a painful way to learn, but it's how I had to learn, you know? And yeah. So I did, I learned so much in all the different communities and methodologies and modalities that I've practiced in and learned from. And I'm so grateful for all of it. And so Ellie and I started Desire on Fire just as a side thing and started doing little retreats on the side and just loved it. And eventually I was doing small group courses by myself and Ellie was getting jealous because she's like, I want to know how they're doing between retreats. Like, and I was holding them. Yeah, I was like holding them and coaching them between retreats. And she was like, I want to be part of it because she had her own business, a wellness business. So she wasn't coaching. And I was like, well, we can combine forces and do it together. And it was a big deal for both of us because we had successful six-figure businesses separately. Yeah. And we were like, do we want to like let these go and go all in?
Yeah.
And we did in 2020. And you know, it's been growing and expanding and it's had a life of its own. It's certainly its own entity and its own, we are in service to Desire on Fire and how it wants to roll and expand. It's been such a ride and such a dream come true.
All right. There's a couple of things I want to double click on. I'm going to say them both now so I don't forget, but we'll start with one and then we'll go to the other. The first one is related to these retreats that are a little bit more edgy,
yes,
which we met at one,
yes,
which we'll get into.
Definitely.
And then the second piece is like your sisterhood, which we didn't talk about, but I did think about talking about this.
I'd love to.
So let's go there a second. But Amy and I met at ISTA, the International School of Temple Arts, which is also a somewhat controversial school of shamanic sexuality. And it's amazing. And I think that with all of these modalities, there is a level of personal responsibility that's necessary when you walk in, and there can also be space for shadow to come into all like these organizations very much are run by humans.
Absolutely.
And it can be easy to go in and just be like, oh my God, this is the sauce I've been waiting for. And I want to put it on everything.
Yes.
And in reality, like there's a lot of space for discernment. So I really admire the discernment that you stepped into in both of those containers, really.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Thank you. And I think it's sad because often people will throw the baby out with the bathwater when they're like, oh, this organization isn't perfect, or there are flawed humans running it, or there have been, you know, there has been some darkness that's been playing out. But I'm like, that is all humans and all organizations, whether it's a church, a school, a sexuality coaching organization, a therapy practice, like any organization or company or industry, you know, as a whole is going to have shadow and imperfection and ways that things play out that we might not prefer. And how can we be personally responsible and be discerning and be boundaried and learn our boundaries along the way and get the most out of it and take the juice and take the gold and leave the rest.
Exactly. Just feeling into, and even with this conversation, as people are listening, we're going to talk about some things that like might trigger the fuck out of women, because we haven't gotten there yet, but we'll get there. When I first heard about some of these polarity practices, especially in respecting men, I was like, this completely contradicts the feminist ideology that I've been spoon fed. And I hate it. But also, if this is the way, like, let me just be open and 100%. Try some things. So we'll get there. But we met at ISTA. Great. And then, but we were living in different places and you're in different parts of our lives and it just didn't land. And then you recently, but I was following you and I was like, Amy knows women like literally all over the world and it's fucking impressive and insane. And especially with like hearing, I didn't know that story about you and Ellie and how you merged businesses. And I'm like, that's so edgy. Like
it was
to surrender into that and to feel like you had built this thing and now it wasn't like she was completely coming.
But I was the one with the intimacy coaching business.
Yeah.
It's true. And she'll, you know, we talk about our story and things, but she says like you were the experienced coach. She's had a whole journey of like surrendering to, cause she had comparison come up and like, I was the one with the coaching business and I had more practice coaching. She's also an amazing coach and healer, but she had all this stuff come up around that and insecurity and jealousy and all this and that I didn't know about till she shared with me and let me in. Didn't take that long, but she was resistant to sharing with me at the beginning and it was scary. And so we've just gone through so many sisterhood portals, and that's why we hold such a profound sisterhood because yeah. we're very real about our sisterhood challenges, and we get raw with each other, and we share the things that are on our hearts and that feel vulnerable to say, and we're afraid of rejection, or we don't, we say it, and we're like practicing it in real time every day.
Yeah.
Especially living together.
That's so incredible. Yeah. Share a little bit about your dynamic now, yeah. just for so the listeners.
We all moved to Austin. Ellie's married to her husband, Rob, and her baby, Bear, who's my godson and who's one. And we lived all together when I first moved to Austin in one Airbnb, and it was really fun. Yeah. And I loved helping with the baby, and it was great. And now we live in two houses. I'm in the back house, they're in the front house on the yeah. same lot. And so it's perfect. So we have our own houses. I was like, energetically, I need to have my own house if I want to have a partner, because I can't be living like with a baby next to me.
Yeah.
and then they have the house in the front and I'm in the back, and then our Desire on Fire office is in their house, and then we have this big goddess space, which is an amazing gathering space for sisterhood Yummy. Circles, and we're going to do little VIP retreats and stuff, and we'll host it all in there. So it's so perfect and wonderful, and we've been in there for a few months. So
okay.
love living together.
Super yummy.
Yeah, together and apart. It's like
yeah, and perfect. You've been traveling all over and witnessing their dynamic and like yes. doing a lot together. Yes. And then you're also just all over the place.
I am.
As well.
Yes. And I just got back from Bali. I just spontaneously went to Bali for 2 weeks and it was amazing. And now I'm back. So yeah.
Yeah. And she's moving.
I'm moving.
Okay. And so in all of that, you had mentioned you're in a separate house.
Yes.
Because you desire to call in a partner.
Yes.
And one of the reasons that I wanted to invite Amy onto the podcast is because she so vulnerably shares her journey with like dating and relationships and her relationship to the masculine. Mm-hmm. And I love it. So I'd love to hear a little bit about how you've evolved in that way since yes. becoming an intimacy coach.
I'd love to share. Well, one thing I'll say is that a lot of my earlier training, like when I first started, like in the orgasm meditation world, but also in other yeah. trainings, were very focused on feminine desire.
Yeah.
And so it was amazing and life-changing and liberating and necessary.
So yummy.
So yummy. My body turned on, my pussy turned on, my desire turned on. It was so liberating for me. And I learned to receive, and I learned to open, and I learned to feel more in my body. And it was yeah. so beautiful. And there wasn't a focus on masculine desire.
Mm-hmm.
There wasn't a focus on men and like their desires and needs, that was much more focused on women. And again, organizations and modalities led by flawed and imperfect human beings. And like, it's not all going to be perfect. No philosophy or modality or methodology is going to be perfect. And there's always gold in all of it. And so there was, but I also, you know, I was undoing conditioning and belief systems in that work, but I was also learning new conditioning and belief systems that I've now had to let go of. Like, it's been like learning, unlearning, learning, unlearning, learning. What am I keeping here? What am I leaving behind? And so I call it my loving men phase, my loving yeah. men work is a different body of work. There's like yeah. the sexual awakening work.
Uh-huh.
There's like the sexual awakening and like yeah. sexual liberation work. Mm-hmm. And then there's like the loving and respecting men work, which is very different.
Yeah.
And they can go together. And that's what we're teaching at Desire on Fire. And I'm sure you're learning so much yeah. and teaching so much in your own work. And, so, you know, as we all are getting it and learning it, integrating it, we teach it. But it's been a process, because after I, you know, stopped doing, like, I'm like, what? How do I say this? But like, after I left the orgasmic meditation community and had tried some different things and learned in some different ways from different teachers, I was like, okay, I need to have a transformation around my relationships with men. Because I could just feel it. Even though I yeah. was like way more awake, having amazing sex, like really feeling receptive, feeling more in my body.
Yeah.
So like, to the average woman, I was like so free, right? So alive, so fulfilled. But there was still something missing in my like
yeah.
relationships, partnerships with uh-huh. men. Mm-hmm. And I was like, okay, there's something I need to learn here. And I started, I just started learning from different teachers. I learned with Om Rupani. I don't know if you know him.
He's no.
a
dominance and submission teacher and sacred sexuality. He's amazing. And Jillian Poitier, I don't know if you've heard of her. She's amazing. And then some other teachers and now doing some polarity work that's very hardcore, and with a teacher named Zach Rohde, who's very controversial. So I like controversial teachers. I like controversial communities and things that are like edgy and different. But man, do I get worked by being in them, because I'm like, oh my God, this is what I've always thought. And all my like feminist conditioning of like being a strong woman and being a good woman and like caring for other women and like this is what it looks like. And like I don't need a man. And like, but I also want a man, but I don't need a man. And like all of that has been getting completely like flipped on its head. And I'm like, am I a feminist? Like, what do I even, obviously I believe men and women should have all like the same opportunities and like rights, but what actually do I believe in terms of our differences and like, and our energetic differences and honoring our differences and relating to men as completely different beings, because they are. And, so yeah, I'm learning a lot. Happy to dive into it. But what motivated it was I've hit rock bottoms over time. Like, we really value and celebrate rock bottoms and Desire on Fire. Yeah. And, you know, in our world, we're like, this is a great thing because you're going to have to face something when you're hitting bottom.
Yeah.
And I hit a real bottom after an intense breakup 4 years ago. And that's when I was like, okay, I'm ready for something to learn something new.
Yeah.
And then I've hit another one recently, which sent me into the polarity work.
Yeah.
So.
And here we are.
And here we are.
Yeah. And it's an interesting time to be exploring all of this too, when there's so much moving as well in the like fluidity space of like trans and like different sexual orientation and all of that. Yeah. And like, I love it. Like, I love the expansion there. And there's also like a homecoming happening in terms of like traditional roles as well. And it's like really fascinating to figure out like, where do I fit in here?
Totally.
And I don't think that there's any right formula for any one person or couple or individual, but it's a really fascinating place to be in.
Yes.
So for me, it was a similar journey of like, I had my sexual awakening part of the work. And then there were the relationships that were initiating me in various ways. And for a while it was like, oh, well, like, it's him. It's not me. It's him.
Yeah.
And yes, it was him.
Yes.
All like all yeah, yeah, like for sure, for sure. And it was also me choosing that and enabling things.
Yes.
And there was also a part that was just plain me. Just plain me. And you know, for me, it was like I was in a relationship for a year before I met, almost a year before I met my partner. And he would say, you're being disrespectful to me. Mm-hmm. And I was like, you're being a pussy. Like, I didn't say that to his face, but I was like, you're taking things too personally. Yeah. Like, you're making a big deal. Da-da-da. But I loved him. And I was like, whatever. And like, let's do these things. Let's do these trainings and it'll all work out fine.
Yeah.
It didn't, which is great. I'm so happy that it didn't, so that I could step into this relationship where Andrew, my fiance, is like perfection. And of course, he has his shit that he gets to work on and all of that. But I couldn't fall back on the it's you anymore. I was like, oh.
No, it's not you.
And so when he would be like, I feel disrespected. Like, I know that you're not intentionally trying to disrespect me, but like, that's how it's coming off.
Yes.
And he'd be like, is this the first time this has happened? And I'd have to be like, no. No. Fuck.
Damn it. I thought he was wrong and decided.
Yeah, and I had like dabbled a bit in polarity before that and like recreationally, like even when my partner and I broken up, I especially went deeper into the work. So I was like, okay, now I really need to prepare for a partner and like what does like I'm ready to meet my person, I think.
Yeah.
So I also had like a 6 month gap in between those partners where I tried like solo poly and was just like, I'm going to try the exact opposite to make sure I'm clear on like life partnership and family and like creating life and all of that. And I'm also going to do the research to get ready if that's the yes. So I was like diving into Jillian's work and Allison Armstrong.
Yes, I forgot to say Allison.
And that was like first. I forgot that I read one book. I didn't work with them directly, but I read something by Jillian. And this was actually when I was going through my
like when my ex and I were deciding if we should stay together or not, I read this article or essay that she wrote about bringing her partner breakfast in the morning and like the ritual and the devotion of it. And it literally made me cry.
Yeah.
And I was like, fuck yes, yeah. This is what I want. And that's where I was like, okay, like maybe some of this more extreme devotional like relating is actually like my gateway.
Yeah.
And then I read one of Allison's books, and then I got into a relationship with my partner and things were crunchy. And then what really sealed it for me was reading, I can't remember the author right now. I wish I would have looked at this before we started recording, but it's called The Empowered Wife. Do you know?
Oh, yeah, I know it. Laura Doyle. It used to be called The Surrendered Wife.
It used to be called The Surrendered Wife. Doesn't that just trigger you saying that?
Well, it did. Not anymore. Now it's like, that's like, no big deal compared to what I'm learning now. But at the time, I read that probably 3 or 4 years ago. And I was like, what the fuck? I mean, I loved it, but I hated it. And I mean, the moment I can remember so vividly from that book is when she said, you know, if he makes a wrong turn, I zip my lips and I say nothing. And I let him figure it out himself. I'm like, but... What if he goes the wrong way for 20 minutes, you know?
Yeah.
And it's just not trusting them.
Yeah.
They're going to fucking figure it out. Like, but it's that need to control.
Yes.
Yes. I love that you read that.
Yeah. And I read it recently. I read it like 6 months ago. I read it like a few months into us starting our relationship. And I was like, all right, what do I need to do to deal with my control issues basically? And because I started to realize like, oh, I'm actually deeply afraid and that's where all this is coming from. And when Andrew and I started dating, it was like I was waiting for the other shoe to drop for like at least a solid month and had like intense anxiety about like, is this real? And then it was real. But then it was the journey of the way I realizing that the way I was communicating and treating him really wasn't an asset to our relationship. And I think that the things with Laura Doyle and some of these other, you know, practitioners is it's like, yeah, you know, you read it and it can come off really strong coming from a feminist background where we've been taught to be badass bitches, basically.
Yeah, and wear the pants
and do it all.
Yeah.
Do it all. And at the end of the day, it's like when a man shows up and is like, oh, I would like to carry some of this weight for you. Yeah. Are you going to argue with him or are you going to
do?
And I did.
Yeah.
Or are you going to surrender or are you going to micromanage the way he holds it all?
That's right. Yeah. Well, and it's so vulnerable to actually let them lead.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what I'm practicing and realizing so much right now in this polarity work that I'm practicing. It's like so excruciatingly vulnerable to actually say yes and actually ask. Like, you know, I'm learning all these little even linguistic things. Like instead of saying, can you get me some water? Can you get my bag for me?
Yeah.
Right? It's can I have help?
Yeah. Yeah.
May I have help with my bag? And it's like, it's way more vulnerable.
Mm-hmm.
Even just the small linguistic changes.
Yeah.
It's like, may I have your help?
Mm-hmm.
Versus, can you go do that? Even these small energetic shifts or linguistic shifts can feel so vulnerable and so exposing and so like risky. It's like, well, what if they say no?
Yeah.
And it feels more revealing and exposed, at least for me. And I can trust it probably feels that way for a lot of other women, which is why we don't do it. And a lot of us don't even know how. But even when we learn, it's like, I'm not going to do that. And I'm not going to lower myself. And I'm not going to be beneath a man or like put myself. And actually, like, it's interesting because there's sometimes like kind of conflicting or different ways that different teachers see things, but that even though they're in the same like line of work, but Jillian talks about how devotion is an upward energy. Mm. So you actually have to put the man above you to be in devotion to him.
Interesting.
Yeah. And I like that. I'm like, wow, like how humbling, right? But also how freeing to say, you are above me. I'm going to choose to put you above me and let you lead me. And I'm going to let my energy move upwards in devotion to you. And because devotion is like devotion to God, right? It's upwards, right? And so that's where the energy flows. And it's so radical to be like, I'm going to choose to have this man be above me. But I actually went to a tantra retreat last year, a couple's tantra retreat. And she also said, my Sarita, who's 75, was like Osho's like right hand. She was like studying under Osho for 15 years before he died and still is a practitioner of many of his teachings. And she also said, you know, you should always have a man that's either, she said you can either have a man that's like the same as you or like above you or like beyond you. Yeah. And you should choose someone who's above you or like beyond you. And then my partner at the time that I brought to the retreat was like, so what am I? And I thought about it for a second. I was like, above me. And he's like, really? And I was like, yeah. And he just like immediately like opened and like felt like more powerful and more like strong. And it's not like puffing up his ego. It was like he like felt more confident that he could be like, oh, like you just watch men expand and like they're brighten. They brighten when we actually allow them to be the leaders and like the strong, amazing men that they are, but we just fucking cut their balls off.
Yeah. And great men, which most men are great.
Yes.
I believe.
The same.
I really believe deep down that most men are great. And when these great men are given some power, which is a choice. I think that there's also this misconception that, oh, if I'm putting him above me, well, then I've been my choice is taken away. I'm disempowered. I'm disempowered. Yeah, I'm powerless. When in reality, you're giving it to him. It's your choice. You are actually in power.
Yes.
Which is a little bit of a mind fuck. Mm-hmm. A lot of this stuff, like, it sounds really crunchy at first, but then you're like, let me just try it on. And then it becomes really easy. Absolutely. And it's like,
and you realize you still fully have your power. It's not that you become a doormat. You're actively choosing it.
I feel the exact same. Like, I don't feel like, and I feel like I've gained like so much in the process of making these like micro shifts in really just like the way I communicate and acknowledge my partner. Mm-hmm. But where was I going with this? I was on a train of thought and then I got stuck in the disempowered loop.
Well, putting them above us, letting them lead, the polarity, micro shifts, respecting them.
Yeah. I don't remember. There's so many places. But yeah, it's this piece where it's like you are, it's almost like this dom sub relationship too. Like in a dom sub relationship, there's this misconception that the sub is now completely disempowered when in reality, again, like, and it's a gift. It's such, oh, I remember where I was going. It's not this, I'll get there, but it's such a gift to be able to surrender and to not have to hold it all. And so, and it opens you up to expanded states of being, like when you're not carrying it all the time. And there's so much power in that. In fact, giving away your power for a minute can allow you to find power somewhere else that you couldn't pay attention to before. And it's my experience that great men, this is where I was going, which is most men, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. And I think all men have this potential.
Yes.
Besides maybe, I don't know.
There are the extreme cases, but I think generally, I agree.
Yeah. When they are given the power, it actually calls them forth more. Yes. They're actually inspired to become even greater.
Yeah.
And to me, like, when I ask Andrew what he wants, it's like, I want to make you happy. Like, that's my grandest pleasure in life, is to bring you happiness and to give you everything you've ever wanted. Mm-hmm. And what we don't realize is that we have to receive to do that, which does involve surrendering as well.
Yes, 100%. Yeah.
So what has your journey been like? Like, you are such a powerful woman and you handle rooms of women and like in that element, it's almost like you're in your masculine in that I all am. Day.
Yeah.
And that's how I feel too. And I work with a lot of men. I work with like half women, half men. Mm-hmm. And it's interesting because I don't tell the men this when I work with them, but like they're in their feminine when they're working with me, and I'm actually in the masculine. And a lot of my work is connecting them to their feminine, connecting them to their heart. And so how does that feel, that relationship to your work and being in the masculine, to then having to switch and be in your feminine?
Yeah.
They say you are the average of the five people you spend the most time with. And this is something that I really, really resonate with. And as I've invested in living a tantric lifestyle, my relationships have evolved and become so much more juicy and liberating. And I believe that this is something that everyone deserves. However, finding these people can be a little bit challenging at first. And so it is my mission to create more spaces for people to find individuals that are resonant with the tantric lifestyle, that are really resonant with you, the listener, the person who is investing their time into living a life that is expansive and liberating. So with that, I'm committed to creating more and more safe spaces for people to discover their desires and practice their boundaries, to connect in community, to celebrate and to grow together so that we can all step into a more authentic version of ourselves and experience truly unconditional love. So we have Tantra retreats, retreats for men, women, couples, singles. We also have female-only retreats just for the ladies stepping into their divine feminine. We have play parties. We have Tantra workshops, Tantra yoga, women's circles. We've got all kinds of really powerful in-person events. You can find all the details at www.talktantratome.com/events. You can also just go to talktantratome.com and click the events tab to find out about all the latest and the greatest. And if you're wanting me all to yourself, I can't blame you. I also host private retreats for both individuals and couples. Those are one-on-one. You get me all to yourself. And I'm available for private Tantra workshops and performances. And this is great for events like your birthday or maybe a bachelorette party or bachelor weekend. We can talk and create something that will be extra special just for you. So I cannot wait to connect with you in real life. But for now, thanks so much for your patience with this brief interruption, and let's get back to the episode.
Well, it's definitely been a journey because my comfort zone is being in my masculine, because it is what's so exalted in our culture and it's so what's needed in the masculine world that we live in. And so, right, it's easy to be in that. And I definitely have a strong inner masculine. But I'm in a lot more balance with my inner masculine and feminine in my work now, because even though I am leading and I am holding, I'm really connected to my body. I'm tuning in. I'm breathing. I'm slowing down at times. I can feel the room. So I'm really connecting to my body, my pussy, my heart. So I'm not only in my masculine, and I really do flow between the two as best I can, though I'm more masculine dominant in my energy if I am leading. But it's balance. I find a balance with it for sure. But in terms of like shifting into my feminine, it has been a real practice. And that is what I'm especially practicing with this polarity work, which is so much about really letting myself feel my feelings and share my feelings. And this is one that has been a really powerful, it's a linguistic thing, but it's life-changing. From Zach Rohde, who's the teacher that I'm learning from right now, which is sharing your feelings without ED words.
Okay.
So if you take this on, if anyone listening takes this on, it will be life-changing. It's challenging, but it's life-changing. So basically, when you use an ED word, for example, disappointed.
Yeah.
Frustrated. Irritated.
Okay.
Any of those.
Yeah.
Or fill in the blank. Or even scared. It's subtly blaming. It subtly says, you made me irritated.
Yeah.
Okay. It's just the way that the energetically, and also like the way that the word is, just like it is kind of like, because of this, I'm irritated. Right. And so when you shift it to say, I'm feeling irritation, it's really personally responsible.
Yeah.
It's not blaming. So like, oh, I'm just noticing irritation in my body.
Yeah.
It's not because you did it. And so it's a real practice to say like, okay, I'm feeling nervousness. I'm feeling fear. I'm feeling sadness. I'm feeling some irritation. Instead of like, I feel scared. I feel frustrated. I feel irritated. I feel disappointed. I'm feeling disappointment. It even feels more vulnerable to say it. Disappointed is like, I'm disappointed in you, which is so emasculating. But feeling like actually revealing, oh, I'm just feeling some disappointment. Yeah. And I feel tender about that, you know? Yeah. Like it's different. And so that's just one thing, but like I'm practicing that. And so sharing, so feeling my feelings, acknowledging them and sharing them is a way that I get back into my feminine.
Yeah.
When I have been in like head, right? In my head, yeah. It's kind of like we can simplify it on one level to like masculine is head and feminine is heart or body. And not exclusively, of course, there's so much more nuance to that. But like when I'm in my head and I rock it being in my head and like, you know, getting things done.
Yeah.
But I have to drop into my body and in my heart. And that's what creates polarity. If I'm just in my head and I'm in stories and I'm in judgments and I'm just like going and talking about the things that I'm doing and having to do da 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 da.
Yeah.
Which I'm great at. It's not hot.
Mm-hmm.
But when I'm sharing my feelings and when I'm sharing my body and what's going on in my body and my desires and when I have a need, which feels vulnerable to share, then that creates the polarity.
Yeah.
So I'm practicing it. And like I'm dating right now, so I'm not really like – I'm just like just going on like first and second and third dates right now with, you know, over the last few months. And so I'm more practicing it with the men in my life, like Ellie's husband, Rob, and our friends just visited for 2 weeks from Denmark. And so my friend Victoria's husband, Anders, I was also practicing with. And when other friends come over, like, because it's not like I want a polarized sexual relationship with them, but I want to just practice the energy
of
speaking in that way to the masculine that is respectful and revealing.
Yeah, because it's really like not just about your closest relationships with men, and you can practice this with men out in the real world, like letting men help you.
Yes.
Letting men help you with whatever. They're like, men are constantly wanting to help us.
Yes.
And so often it's like
a lot.
Yeah, because it's like, who's this creepy dude? Or like what, we make up a story.
What
does
he want from me if I do let him help me?
Yeah, exactly. And what if you're just so charming and enchanting that people just want to help you, especially men? And yeah, so I mean, it's small things like that.
You can practice with anyone. And like, for example, I just led a retreat this weekend, like I mentioned, and it was all women, right? And the chef was a woman, and all the women on our team, it was everyone was a woman. And then the last day we had two men come in, the photographer and videographer, and just for like 4 or 5 hours at the end of the retreat. And I just loved feeling myself with them. Like I was so open, and they both were like, this has been amazing. Like, you guys are amazing. And these are men that are like very like successful photographer, videographers. They were like, the videographer has worked with Mama Gina and lots of other people. Like he's very experienced in this world. And he was like, I definitely want to film your event in October. I definitely want to partner with you guys. Like, this has been so great. You guys, basically in my own interpretation, how we would say you feel amazing.
Yeah.
Like, you feel so good to be with.
Yeah.
And that's essentially what they were saying. But I just loved feeling my receptivity. Like, as a photographer was taking photos of me and he's like, wow, you look gorgeous. And I'm like, thank you. And I just let it in. Like, I can just let it in, and I can be playful with them, and I let them lead. And, you know, and I was like kind of leading them to lead us because I really wanted them to have permission. I was like, dom us, tell us what to do. Like, we're so happy to do it. Like, just and to give them that permission to take over leading us, because I'm sure they're not even used to that, because most of the time I'm sure clients are like, well, we want this and this and this and this and this, and they're leading. And we were like,
you know what's best.
You guys just tell us what to do. You're the experts. You're the one. This is your genius. And you know, we shared our desires and our ideas, but they really got to just lead the way. And you could feel them in their masculine, and you could feel them in their power, but and feeling our receptivity. And myself, my business partner, are very receptive. And of course, all of our students who are learning from us are too. And they're just so in their feminine essence and their play and their bodies. And it just felt so good. And so even though I'm not in a relationship right now, I love feeling how I am with men and my own body and my own softening and my own receptivity with them and how they respond.
Yeah. And I love that you brought in this piece on like what happens when it's like you don't want to, you're struggling to receive from the man because maybe there's a story of like, well, what does this mean? Or like, what am I going to have to reciprocate or whatever it is? And to me, what it comes down to is if that's coming up, there's probably something there to explore the past interaction. And then there's also this part of you that doesn't trust your ability to draw a line or to communicate your boundary or your desire or whatever it is. And so once you get comfortable with trusting yourself.
Yes.
This was a big piece for me, yeah, for sure. And I didn't even realize it because I was like, for sure I trust myself. And then right, I realized, oh my God, I don't. And like, because I don't trust myself, I'm being hyper vigilant.
And I'm not trusting other people.
Right. I'm being like super hyper vigilant and protecting in every circumstance, whether yeah, it be with a stranger trying to hold the door open for me or my partner trying to, you know, make something better with my tech set up for an event, you know, sure, and it's like, this is the way that works. Don't fuck with it. And, yeah, you know, and it's like, in reality, like, I don't know best. In yeah, fact, I'm actually really bad at technology. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm getting better, I should say. I'm improving my relationship. But that was a big thing for me in this space, was taking his influence, taking yes, my fiance's influence, taking his suggestions and allowing him to lead in that. Yeah. But yeah, that was a real experience where we were setting up for an event. I had my speaker that works. And he's like, you know, it would be so cool if we got this like new speaker and it'll just sound so amazing. And my knee-jerk reaction was to be like, this is fine. Like, why are you adding additional things last minute that are just like, I'm trying to focus on my thing and you're annoying me. Uh-huh. Whereas because of this work, I caught that and was right, like, if you really think that that's like going to make this better, I trust you. Go take care of it.
Yeah, I love it.
And yeah, and that's like one example. I could let it in. I could receive that.
It's really vulnerable to let men contribute to us, right? Yeah. And trust that they're going to contribute well.
Yes.
And I definitely have, you know, had my own journey with this massively. And I have a real pattern of like wanting to do it myself, thinking I'm going to do it best. No one else is going to do it as well as me, right? Hyper-independent.
Hyper-independent,
right? And just like control freak.
Yeah.
And it doesn't allow people to contribute to me. And I got feedback from a recent lover, a lover from last year, because I was in a course and we got to do feedback interviews. So I was like, immediately, I was like, I'm calling Alex. And I called him and he was so happy to give me the feedback. And it was so much loving feedback and like so generous and so sweet and how much he appreciates me and just adores yeah, me and all this. And then I was like, what are my, something about my weaknesses or, you know, things I can improve on. And,
yeah.
And he's like, well, when we were seeing each other, I didn't really feel like I could contribute to you.
Yeah.
Because you just had it handled.
Yeah.
And like men want to feel needed, right? And mm-hmm, if I'm just like, I got it, which is me, which is my default MO, right?
Same.
Is I got it, then they don't feel useful. They don't feel needed. Yeah. And so he's like, yeah, you just had it handled. And so I didn't really feel like I could contribute to you or like give to you. And I remember him sharing with me, we're very close and have a beautiful friendship now. And he shared with me about a girl he was dating a few months ago. And he was like, yeah, she lives across Australia. He lives in Australia. She's like, she lives across Australia and I'm flying her over to my city and we're going to, you know, get together. And I just remember being like, wow, like you're flying her to you. Like, and I felt the vulnerability of it. And I was like, I wouldn't have wanted him to do that. Or if he had offered, like, it would have been a lot to receive. Cause I'm yeah, just like, I can fucking pay for it. Like, yeah, you know, like it just, yeah, it's like, I don't need you to pay for it. I don't want you to be put out. I don't want all, yeah, all these stories, which like he wouldn't have been put out. Like he uh-huh, would have been only offering if he could pay for it.
Yeah.
But, and he didn't even offer. That wasn't a dynamic or a situation we experienced. But still, I'm sure he didn't offer because he knew I had it handled.
Yeah.
And I remember one time when we were dating, I was in a pickle because of something with flights and flight changes. And he was like, you can use my points to change your flight or upgrade or whatever. And he's like, I have a lot of points and you could do it. You could upgrade, see if you can get business class or something. And yeah, I was crying.
Oh.
I remember just being like, oh my God. And I didn't even end up needing, I didn't need to make the change, it turned out. But the fact that he offered was yeah, like so much to receive. And I was just like, oh my God. And I didn't even need to receive it. It turned out. But like, wow. And how much do I block that because I have it handled?
Yeah.
Because I can pay for it. And I've got it figured out. Mm-hmm. And I just block men being able to receive, being able to give to me.
Yeah. And I totally get the fear of like letting them do it because like, what if they do it wrong?
Right.
And then it's like fucking hell. Like,
yes,
you know, but they're going to fuck it up sometimes. They're totally going to fuck it up. It happens. And it's like, but are you willing to sacrifice the quality of your relationship in the yeah, depth over a fuck up.
Yeah.
Like, we're all human. I fuck up. You fuck up. We all fuck up sometimes.
Yeah.
And it's, to me, it's worth it in the end to make that risk, quote unquote.
Yeah.
And it's also like, start with the low stakes stuff. Like, yes. How often am I like micromanaging my fiance in the fucking kitchen? And it's like, it's a fucking steak.
Right.
We've also got 12 more steaks in the fridge.
Yeah. You know, gonna it's going to be like, fine. Even if they fuck it up, yes. It'll be fine.
It will be.
It totally will be.
Well, and this is where appreciation comes in so yes. much. Because yes. like, men need respect and appreciation, and how stingy we are as women in our appreciation.
Yeah.
Also because it's vulnerable. Mm-hmm. I've really found in my appreciating men journey, like, wow, how even though I do feel grateful for men in general, I'm like, whoa, how vulnerable it feels to just like openly and endlessly yeah. share appreciation. Like, for whatever reason, I get why women don't do it. It just feels exposing.
It does.
Right? And to actually, and I just had a moment the other day when I was in Bali, because I just feel very alive and very filled up when I'm in Bali. And I yeah. had a moment, I'm like, I was talking to some girlfriends about this because it's what we talk about. And yeah. I was like, I want to send love to some of my exes. And I just sent 3 voice notes to 3 of my ex-lovers.
I love this.
And of just appreciation. Uh-huh. Just like 2 or 3 minutes of appreciation yeah. to each of them. And I have great relationships with my exes, and I love them and have such close friendships with many of them and just adore them and really respect them.
For sure.
And so I was like, I have lots I could say. And I just sent them these notes, these very, you know, personalized, vulnerable notes of like how much they've impacted me and how much I adore them and how much I respect them and how much I appreciate how they are and what they do and how I learned with them and how yeah. they, how generous they were with me and are with me still. And
yeah.
And they just like loved it. All of them just loved it. And one of them was like, I feel like you should just get all of us guys. He's like, of course you have so many men that you're grateful for and who you love because you're just amazing. And he's like, I feel like we should be finding your man for you. Like, you should just have all of us just find your soulmate. And I was like, yeah, I would love that.
Let's go.
Yeah.
Put your, all right.
Game on.
I'm ready. Yeah, that's amazing. Gratitude is huge. Andrew introduced into our dynamic from the very like the first week we started dating, we wake up every day and do gratitudes for each other. That's like our first thing. And learning that through him and also learning that through some of the teachings, mm-hmm. how important gratitude is. It's like things that like I didn't even realize how impactful it was. But over the weekend, I went to a women's circle, and in the women's circle, like, it's not just sharing it to him. It's also just speaking that out into the world. Yeah. And so I was sharing some of my gratitude for my partner at the women's circle. And of course, I also shared the shit that annoys the fuck out of me. But, you know, it's yeah. all there.
That's
and
what women's circles are. That's yeah, what they're for.
That's what they're for. The bad, that's what they're for. And he is great with it. And so I went home and I was like, oh, I want to tell you about my women's circle. And I told him, like, oh my God, I was telling my girlfriends all these things about you. And he's like, I love that you're telling women this. Because we actually had a thing in the beginning of our relationship too, where he was like, you disrespect me in front of our friends. Mm-hmm. And I was so like, oh my God, that's so embarrassing.
I know, right? Once you see it.
I was mortified. And I was like, fuck, you're right. And some of it was just like, it was like playing, like yeah. joking, and like I didn't really see it. But now, like, the dynamic is completely different, and I'm really cautious of being like complimenting him a lot in front of our friends.
Yes.
And also just like, even when it's like, oh, Andrew fucked up and it was kind of funny, it's also like, and I love all of these other things about him that makes it holistic rather than being so intensely yeah. critical unconsciously.
Right. Well, and we live in such an emasculating culture that it's normal yeah. and it's funny and it's like approved of to kind of like shit yeah. on the man and kind of be like, oh, he's being dumb or he fucked up or
yeah.
whatever. It's just common. Mm-hmm. So it's so deeply ingrained.
Yeah.
At the retreat this weekend, we were doing inner child work and everyone performed a song or dance or something. It was so cool. And I did Shania Twain because I just love Shania Twain. And my inner child loves Shania Twain.
I mean, it fits.
I mean, yeah. And so I was singing, Man, I Feel Like a Woman, and you don't impress me yet.
Yeah.
You don't impress me much.
Yeah.
And we were all like singing and we did a little dance party afterwards. And I was like, we love Shania Twain and she's very emasculating. Like, we're like, don't take on the lyrics, okay? Because it's like literally everything's like, you don't impress me. It's like, he's yeah. like, so you think you're cool because you got a car. You don't impress me much.
Yeah.
That's like everything. It's like, you can't yeah. impress me. You can't impress me. And mm-hmm. I'm like, okay, it's not respectful. But I was like, Ellie was like, look at where we get it.
It's everywhere. The messaging of like, you can't impress me. You're not good enough. You're a dumb guy. You're going to fuck it up. Women are the ones that run everything. It's just the messaging is everywhere. So it's so radical to respect your man.
Yes.
To be complimentary, to be sharing appreciation with him in front of other people, not shitting on him, not making fun of him. Like, it is radical.
It really is. And in some ways, there's another really empowering piece here for women in that we get to be the leaders of love in this way, because the more I'm devotional and respectful and grateful for my partner and I show that, like, the more he does it to me too. Yeah. And there's a lot of, there's leadership in that.
The circuit of energy. Yes, 100%.
Yeah. So I want to hear like a dating story or something. Oh, I feel like you've shared some recently about like disrespecting men and like just tracking it in real time. And so I'd love to hear one of those.
Yeah. Okay. Let me think about it. Well, I shared this story. Let me just feel into it. Cause I'm like, the story that I shared recently on social media that you probably saw was with the ex-lover I mentioned that I went to the Tantra retreat with last year. And that was because I'm much more respectful now. So it's harder. I'm like, okay, let me finding the disrespect. Well, even just a recent, just like a couple months ago, I was on a date with a guy and it was right. He was actually the one that sent me into my little bottom that I needed to go into to start polarity work.
Yeah.
Because he was great. And we had like a beautiful little dynamic and had some, we went on three dates and, but I did notice that I was leading and I was like, okay. And I was respectful. I was definitely respectful, but I was leading.
Yeah.
And I was like asking him a lot of questions. And that's how I am. Like, I'm just curious and I love. And he didn't mind. He like was delighted by me being that way. But once I started the polarity work, I was like, damn, I was really leading. And not good or bad, but I'm like, what dynamic do I want? Right?
Yeah.
It's not a problem to lead. It's not a bad thing. It's just like, do I want that dynamic with a man?
Yes.
And so I just saw that, like asking him lots of questions and like also I was like asking him things about like the work he's done and like his relationship to his shadow and things like that. And like it was fascinating. We had a beautiful conversation, but I was like, I was just so leading that. Like, we decided to shift into friendship and that's fine. But I really felt it really like impacted me and he wasn't my soulmate. It's all good. And like, he's a beautiful man, but I think it's because I was really faced with like where I was still in old patterns of like leading and dominating in a way that I didn't want to be. And I really had to face that. And that's when I started the polarity work. And this was just like maybe, 2 months ago. And already deeply in like learning to love and respect and appreciate men, not being emasculating. So like in overt ways, I wasn't being emasculating. I wasn't being rude. I was receptive to him and his generosity, like letting him open doors, like other things, like offering things, making plans. Like I was receptive, but it was just another layer of like, wow, seeing that I was still leading from a place of like fear and control.
Yeah.
And like wanting to, basically it's like I wanted to know all this about him because I was like vetting him. You know, I'm like, are you deep enough? Have you done enough work? Are you? And it's like, that's all me controlling. Instead of just like receiving, surrendering, softening, letting him lead, discovering it, letting it unfold as it does and the pace that it will.
Yeah.
I'm like wanting to get clear and wanting to get all this clarity. And it's like, why?
Yeah. He'll show you.
He'll show me. I don't need
if you let him
overtly. Right. Exactly. I'm like, what the fuck? And when I was like, oh my God, like I need to undo these final like pieces of this is really still grips me. And that's when I started to dive into the polarity work. And I was like, I am always leading.
Yeah.
I'm just like very, very distrusting of letting men lead, or I had been.
Yeah.
And it's been actually really amazing just in a couple of months. So it's been really amazing how much has changed in just a couple of months practicing this polarity stuff. But I do want to tell one other story because I think it's an important example from last year with this lover that I had mentioned, Alex. So I went to his event. He was running a big event for a coaching event. And I was on the team. I was helping. I was giving him all these suggestions. It was actually a very difficult position to be in because this was like my expertise, like holding large events and like specifically like enrollment events and like things like that. Like I'm really good at that and really trained at it. So it was hard to like,
I wanted to be trusting him and like supporting him, but also I would see things that would be really helpful and supportive and like,
yeah.
But then I'm like, do I offer this or is that kind of emasculating? And like,
yeah.
So anyway, I would offer things if he, and I'd ask if he wanted to know or wanted to hear it. And he did. And it was good. But I also look back now knowing the polarity stuff and I'm like, even though what I offered him was very helpful, did it depolarize us? Like even if it was supportive for him and his sales and his like business and his coaching, did it also then lead to us being less polarized and less sexual with each other? I actually am curious now looking back.
Yeah.
Because I was more kind of leading and helping and like in a more masculine energy in that way. But it's okay to shift into that at times.
Yeah.
So who knows? But I just look back. Anyway, that day we were at lunch with his team and he was really heart open and really sharing vulnerably and it felt so good. And his whole team was like, wow, like we've never seen you like this.
Wow.
And they like loved my influence on him and how he was being with me. And it was so great. Great. And then he like popped out of the vulnerability and started kind of being in his head and talking about some other thing, some book or something he wanted to write. And I stopped him and I was like, can you guys feel how he just popped out of that energy? And like that really like open-hearted energy. And they were like, yeah. And then he just like shut down.
Ooh.
He shut down. He was like defensive and he was like, this is what I wanted to talk about. And I don't need to be in that energy all the time. Like he just started like really.
Yeah.
So I had struck a nerve. And then I felt bad. Like I kind of collapsed and I was like, I felt misunderstood. But then I also got why he felt that way.
Yeah.
So we just let it be. We went back into the event. He was teaching and leading and we couldn't talk about it. And that night, we got into the car and I knew what I had to say and I knew – and I didn't want to. My ego didn't want to.
Yeah.
But I knew what I had to say, which I learned from Alison Armstrong. And I said, I just want to talk about what happened at lunch and I'm really sorry for being disrespectful. I'm sorry for disrespecting you by interrupting you and saying that to your mm-hmm. friends. And like coming off in a way like controlling of how you were being.
Yeah.
And I just loved how you felt and in that like sharing. And I'm sorry for controlling. And he just really softened and really appreciated it and received it. And it opened up a whole conversation for us and it was beautiful. And that was the first time, and I've said it since to men, but that was the first time I said, I'm sorry for disrespecting you.
Yeah.
Because man, does the feminist conditioning, the ego, the all the other things, you can be personally responsible for your own interpretation and know that I wasn't being disrespectful.
Yes.
All of that.
Oh, like, that was so me.
Right? Oh my God. But I just, Alison Armstrong talks about this in her book, it's actually a course that's on Audible called Celebrating Partnership. Mm-hmm. Highly recommend it.
Great.
And she talks about this, that women need – when you disrespect a man or a man feels disrespected by you, how you heal it and resolve it is by saying, I'm sorry for disrespecting you.
Yes.
And when a woman feels hurt, you say, I'm sorry for hurting you.
Yeah.
Because men also are like, well, I didn't mean to hurt you and I didn't hurt you and da-da-da-da-da. And it's like, I'm sorry for hurting your feelings. I'm sorry for hurting you. And – she's like, that's all you have to say.
It's that easy.
It's like resolved.
It's weird. So is this for men then too?
That book is for both. Yeah.
Okay.
Celebrating Partnership is for both.
Because Andrew specifically asked, he's like, I love that you're doing this. Is there a version for men?
Okay.
And I think that could be helpful.
Great book.
Yeah.
Course/book, Celebrating Partnership. Another one that I'm reading right now that I love and am recommending to everyone is called Love and Respect.
Okay.
And it's how women want love, men want respect.
Yeah.
And it's written by I think he's a pastor or something. So it is, there's religious context to it. So you have to be able to let that go if you aren't religious, which I'm not, I'm spiritual, but I'm not triggered by it. I'm totally neutral about it.
Yeah.
Like referencing Bible verses or referencing religious contexts, but I don't mind that. Some people might be quite triggered by that. So you have to be able to set that aside. But the content of the book is really good and simple. And by this man Emerson something. But what he says, and another simple one, is to say, I'm sorry for coming across disrespectful. Oh, no, he said to say to them that came across disrespectful. Like a man can say to you.
Yeah.
That came across disrespectful or that felt disrespectful.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can say that came across unloving.
Mm-hmm.
That felt unloving.
Mm.
So then you can say, because that's personally responsible. It's like that came across to me
yeah. as unloving. It's not saying you were being unloving.
Yeah.
It's like that felt to me unloving. And then the other person can say, I'm sorry for coming across unloving.
Yeah.
I'm sorry that felt unloving. And then you can, or that, I'm sorry that came across disrespectful. This is what I meant.
Yes.
Right? And so that languaging is really helpful. The teacher that I'm working with right now is much more extreme. So he teaches men to say, you're being disrespectful to women. Oof. Yeah. It's much more like
direct,
which there's pros and cons, right? Mm-hmm. It's not a bad thing. It's something I'm getting to adjust to because I, you know, it does yeah. fire me up. As Jillian says, I become inflamed, but like it's like it's like engorged and inflamed. Like the ego is like, right? But is it bad? No, it creates polarity, but it's definitely intense. And I think there is a way to do it without being the man being soft, but just being like kind and like just like honoring yeah. of how it's going to be received. And so I really resonated with that language of like that came across disrespectful, right? That yeah. felt disrespectful. And then it's like, oh, okay, that felt disrespectful to him. How could I say it in a different way?
Yeah.
So there's no right or wrong. There's no good or bad in this. It's just like finding what resonates with you and these practices are resonating with me and actually yeah. seeing it and being willing to be like, wow, yeah, I have been a disrespectful bitch. It doesn't work. You know, it isn't empowering to my man.
Yeah.
And it does depolarize the relationship. It doesn't really make him want to fuck me. I can get that, you know, yeah. and just being responsible for it and then finding the ways to incorporate more polarity, language and speaking and things like that to be able to call each other out lovingly when yeah. it's not feeling loving or respectful between us.
Yeah. And admitting that you were disrespectful feels really bad. Because for me, it was like, oh, I'm bad. Then yes. like, I'm bad and I'm wrong yes. and I'm a failure and I fucked up. And it's like, actually really like, clearly you're not intentionally disrespecting them. Right. And so it really what these books do and like what these teachings do is they show you how it's interpreted by a male brain
yes.
so that you can understand kind of almost like the science behind it.
Definitely.
So when I started to be like, to say to Andrew, like, you know, I would say something or something would happen and he would feel disrespected, be like, or he would just be like, chill. I've mm-hmm. got this. I'd be like, oh, you're right. I was being disrespectful.
Yes.
And just saying it and being like, it's not a big deal.
Yes,
like
it's okay. Just like you were being happy yeah. and excited. And then it's like, oh, and I was also, I was being disrespectful and there I was being really honoring and there I wasn't. And like, can we bring neutrality to it?
Yeah. And just awareness.
Drop the judgment. Right.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's been powerful. And I also think it's like, yes, there are all these different teachers and they have more extreme ways of doing it and more compassionate ways of doing yeah. it, I guess. And there's no right or wrong. And there's also no like right or wrong formula for how much he's in the masculine.
Right.
Like, I would say when we first started dating, it was probably like 50-50. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to believe it was like 70-30, but I feel like now we're actually at 70-30.
Yeah.
And it feels really good for us. Like, mm-hmm. I do like being in my masculine and he likes being in his feminine.
Sure.
But that's not our choice
all the time.
Right. And it feels really good to be in a space where it's like we can flow with it mm-hmm. and be aware of like, it's less about who's in which role and more about how do we create the polarity yes. and feel yummy together.
Yeah, 100%. I love that. And I also in the polarity work I'm doing right now, it is more extreme in that it's not really – he basically says like we don't have inner masculine and feminine that we need to like
wow.
balance. It's more like if women are in our masculine, we're in our wounding.
Interesting.
Yeah, which is a –
that's very extreme.
Yeah, I know. Believe me, I've had lots of reactions. But
yeah.
what's really powerful about it is that my reactions are welcome. And all the teachers and coaches are men because they're like teaching and coaching is masculine.
Okay.
So they're all men. And it's really powerful to just be challenged because I believe
yeah.
what you believe and I think it's healthy and normal to have an integrated inner masculine and feminine.
Yeah.
And I do think generally women being more on the feminine, like 70-30, right? Like being more in our feminine essence is more, I think, natural and at home and relaxing and beautiful
yeah.
for us when we
yeah.
when we allow ourselves to go there, right? But we need to have access to that like part of us that's more omega, as some would say, alpha. I mean, sorry,
yeah.
Alpha, like alpha and omega. More alpha, like going to the gym and getting things done. And we need to harness that energy. But it's been powerful because some of these teachings are so extreme. It's like, how can I have respect and reverence for them, even if mm-hmm. I don't fully align with them or want yeah. to fully integrate them in my life? And also sharing my feelings about it. So
yeah.
they're like, share all your feelings. just don't share your judgments. Like, don't share from judgment, share from feelings. So I'll be like, I have fear. Like, I have fear and I feel sadness and I feel anxiety around this. Like, am I going to lose myself? Am I wrong in what I'm doing? Like, it's sharing the feeling versus like, what the fuck? This is so extreme. I shouldn't even be here. This is so stupid. What are you guys doing? You must be just controlling misogynists. Like, you know, that's not going to get anyone anywhere. And I don't actually believe that about them. I can really feel the teachers, their hearts in this program. But man, does it activate me. And which I love. So I'm like, I love putting myself in scenarios and situations where, A, I'm safe because I know I am because I create that and I know that these people know what they're doing. And B, I can touch and feel those parts of me that where I have wounding that get touched. When I have a big reaction, it's because a wound is being touched. So I'm having big reactions in this program.
Yeah.
So I'm like, ooh, all sorts of wounds to look at and heal. And I am.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's been a very interesting journey that I'm on right now.
I love it. And yeah, so full permission for the listener to take what lands and leave what doesn't. And if this is curious for you, check out the Empowered Wife.
Yes.
Check out
Alison Armstrong's work. Yeah. Jillian Poitier and all sorts of other. There's amazing different kinds of polarity and loving men, respecting men work. And it's all beautiful.
And if it feels more comfortable, it's connecting with one of us and our work as well because – We're
putting it through our own through our own experiences and integrating it. Absolutely.
Yeah.
That's my wish for this is like I'm doing the more extreme work to then bring it into and like it, and share it in a way that feels palatable and feels applicable and feels manageable and easily like more easy to like try on and wear and practice than like what I'm experiencing, which is valuable but definitely extreme.
Yeah, she's doing the hard work for us.
Okay, doing my best.
Yeah, I love all this, and I'm feeling naturally beginning to close. So, where can people find you, support you? Is there anything coming up that people might want to get in on?
Yeah, so Instagram is where I hang out most on social media. So at Amy Batuski and at Desire on Fire, and then we have the Desire on Fire podcast, which we've been kind of letting ourselves make a schedule with it that works because it's like been one of the things that we're like, okay, we've got a lot on our plate. So we do it when we feel turned on about it.
Yeah.
And then we have our big annual event for women, 300 women, the Desire on Fire experience happening here in Austin in October, the 13th through 15th. So we'll include the link in the show notes for those who want to come. It's a low cost event for women that fly over from all over the world and attend. It's so fun. It's deeply healing. It's so much sisterhood. And it's also hybrid, so people can tune in virtually as well. But we had women from like 10 countries last year fly in, and then also women from around the world. So it's really, really fun. And would love to have anyone listening come get a dose of sisterhood and transformation. And we'll definitely be touching on a lot of the topics we talked about today.
I love it. Well, thank you so much, Amy, for sharing all of this. And thank you to the listener for opening yourself up to these kind of taboo and polarizing topics. Yes. And we'll catch you next week on Talk Tantra to Me. Have a sexy and spiritual day. Mwah.